Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday. No. I don't know where that came from. I'm sorry. Monday, June 20th of 2022. And I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you from Midland, Michigan, where I live. And it's such a blessing to be with you. And I hope that everyone had a great Father's Day and had a chance to be with their dad. And if possible, grandpa. And so what I did was I was with my mom and dad yesterday, which meant obviously I was with my dad. And, you know, we went to church yesterday morning, and then I went with my parents up to my grandpa's. He lives with my Aunt Marilyn and Uncle Dale up in the Cadillac area. Up there and that part of the state. Where we are is in the middle, kind of on the east side, and they're on the northwest part of the state. So we went up there to that Cadillac area, spent a few hours with my grandpa, and it was good to get to spend time with him. And he's 87 years old, which I think is an awesome thing to have, that he's 87. I love that. So, and of course we went to church, which, as I said last week, we serve the Heavenly Father. And the way I look at it, he's the greatest father of all. Because after all, he created the earth. And guess what? The Father knows best. He knows best. He knows what... And he knows what's best for you, like in your life. God does. And so it was, an awesome thing. And yes, it was, a lot of you might think, oh yeah, it was kind of nice to cool off for a couple of days. But guess what? That heat is coming right back. In Minnesota, they were under it. The last couple of days, it's coming for us in Michigan. It's working its way east, going to the southern U.S. too. Highs back to the mid-90s tomorrow. And then upper 80s for much of the week. And then 90s again on Saturday. And so, it is summer. And summer officially starts, astronomical summer officially kicks off tomorrow morning at just a little after 5 a.m. So that's the start of the summer solstice. But now this go-around with these high temperatures, this go-round it doesn't seem to be quite as humid. Not quite as humid. Which is noted in the fact that last week we did have a heat advisory on for a day with mid-90s. This time we don't. Because heat indexes are only supposed to go to like 98 as opposed to like 102, 103. And by the way, we did hit 96 on Wednesday. And not only that, my city pool went back to capacity after I left it. When I came home to get prepared to do Wednesday night's broadcast. And it hit capacity again. Will it hit capacity tomorrow, or do you think the fact that there's no advisory makes it harder to know, Shelly? Does it make it harder to know, being there's no advisory? Because in your mind, you feel like the humidity will tell us that. You feel like it kind of depends on how humid it is. Do you think more humid equals more packed? If it's not, then maybe like what, 370, 380? Yep. Still real high either way. Still real high either way. Besides that, there is like a camp or two, like a certain camp that goes Tuesday and Thursday. Because there's no advisory, I feel like if/when it goes to capacity, it's well they're there. Otherwise, maybe not, is what you're thinking. So it depends on kind of when and what have you. For a while today, though, that humidity was pretty bad for a little while today, wasn't it? Here it did. Here it got bad. The humidity got bad. To where it almost felt, not the temperature, but the humidity, almost felt worse than Wednesday. And I have to tell you, listeners, Wednesday was bad. As far as the humidity goes, and I have to tell you, there was a lot of clouds overhead too Wednesday. Remember, it was like half cloudy. Remember that? It was like half cloudy. This time it's supposed to hopefully be a little less cloudy, but that makes it hotter in a different way. And then this weekend, I get to go to Cedar Point to ride some of the world's greatest roller coasters, minus the Topsail Dragster, which is still down due to that incident that happened last summer. Did that incident that happened last summer with that lady scare me a bit when it comes to the dragster? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. My hope is that they can just do a couple quick fixes and then next summer have the dragster back ready to go again. As it is, one of the greatest coasters on earth. We're lucky to have it, you know, far from it. And believe it or not, that state to the south has more roller coasters in it than anywhere else that I know of outside of like Florida and California and maybe Texas. As far as northern states, that state to the south has the most. As they should. And uh, sort of why I call that state to the south the amusement state. And want to know somewhere, listeners, that I've wanted to go to for a while but I haven't had a chance to? Ohio State Fair. Because I've been told that their midway is one of the biggest in America. And I like me some big roller coasters. And in case you're wondering, do I wish this was like Monroe, Michigan, or Toledo? All the time, man. All the time. Why? Love it. Maybe not so much Monroe, but when you're down by Monroe, you're 20 minutes from the border. And people ask me, you know, if someone asks me, you know, what's, because I go to the doctor's for a few doctor's appointments sometimes. And I think I actually admitted to one of the receptionists once, my favorite part of Ann Arbor, other than Michigan Stadium. Did I tell you what it was, Shelley? How the favorite part of Ann Arbor, how close it is to the border of that state to the south? because it's as little as 40 and as much as 45 minutes from the border. I've been to both Ann Arbor and Toledo, and in my mind, Toledo is better. And if someone asks me, what about Cleveland and Toledo? Well, kind of depends on what you're looking for. You know, but yeah. There's a lady in our church that was at the house, my mom's, this weekend, and she was actually from Cleveland. And she was saying that Cleveland does remind her more of Michigan than what Toledo does in certain ways. And that Toledo reminds her more of like a southern Ohio place than what it does of Cleveland. Which, honestly, when I heard her say that, I bet you knew how I was about it. Proud of it. You had a feeling, didn't you? Yep, I was proud of it. A little more back in time. In fact, sometimes I like to call Toledo the hungry city. Because it's in my mind, it's a great place to go when you're hungry because they have, like, a lot of different diners and that. And they have, like, a couple different old-time places. One of them I like to go to is, the one I always go to is this place called Schmucker's on South Reynolds Road in West Toledo. And I've tried multiple different things there and never been disappointed. And then they have Waffle House. The one thing they don't have that I wish they did have is whenever you're feeling good and hungry, it's Skyline time. And the headquartered down there in Cincinnati, Ohio. Tell them 700 WLW sent you. And when I listen to AM radio, I will say I think that might be my favorite station, 700 WLW. Different conservative couple different conservative talk show hosts that I like. One I wish they did have, but I guess I can understand why they don't. Mark Levin. But I'm sure they're on a different affiliate down there. And they are home of the Great American, Bill Cunningham, the Great American, every Sunday night. And I like how he always tells it like it is and talks about the events of the past week. And he has good insight. He's had multiple people call into his show that are experts and talk about how we need God in our country. One expert talked about how they're having revival with Murillo, either way you say his name, out there on the West Coast, and thousands of people coming to his meetings. And the media won't report it. The media won't report it. But this expert that was talking to him about certain things, talking to the Great American every Sunday night, and he was talking to him yesterday, and that was a beautiful thing because Bill was talking, and he's like, well, give me some good news. And so that was really cool. And he's not the first guy in the last several months that I've heard call into that show and say that. And that to me is an awesome thing. It really is. And and that station down there is one that can be heard in more states than not in America. They were the first station to ever be 500,000 watts. Sadly, they had to go down to 50,000. I wish they could stay at 500,000 because then it would all could almost be impossible to lose them. Nope, I was just checking the time, listeners. That's all I was doing. Sorry about that. Sorry about that silence. I was just checking something real quick, but of course, we are good. And personally, because of how the Reds are doing, it's kind of like the Tigers. It's cool to listen to WLW when the Reds aren't playing because, like, if it's late at night, then they got a couple certain conservative guys that I like. One of them will be on tonight because the Reds aren't playing. But it's a nice thing. And so in my mind, they don't call it the gateway between the North and the South for nothing, because I feel like that's what it is. It's a good mix of everything. And so now, folks, I want to remind you of a couple things. The first thing I want to remind you about is Holy Spirit Conference in Palm Coast, Florida. Yay me! I said Palm Coast. I didn't say Jacksonville. I didn't say Daytona Beach. Because it's kind of in between the two. But it's in Palm Coast, Florida. at Richard Summerlin's church, pastor that Dr. Barkley knows really well. They'll be down there. Holy Spirit Conference starts tomorrow night at 7 Eastern time, which is also free Florida time. And you can go online to marktbarkley.com to watch it between Tuesday and Friday. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday mornings, there's also a service at 10:30. And I can't wait to see what God is going to do down there at that conference. Praise God. So the next thing I want to remind you about is the book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life. The story of a God whom my mom could not see but strongly believed in. I have faith in Jesus, and I know that he answers prayer. And I know that I will see what I am believing for. I do believe that I will see my healing be made manifest, and my body will line up to that written word of God. And I just think it's going to be an awesome thing. And I can't wait to see him move. He's healed me of so many different things over the years. And I know that I'm going to see the rest of my healing. And my body's going to line up to that written word of God. Right here, right now. In the name of Jesus. Because I stand on the presence of the word. I stand on the promises of the Word of God. Amen. And so, go online to riversofmiracles.com. That website is rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com to find out information about the book Rivers of Miracles and how it can be a blessing into your life. Because I want to see you blessed. I want to see you make it. I want to see you prosper. So go online. See how you can get that book in your hand. Amen. Well, the next thing I want to talk, the other thing I want to tell you about real quick is PayPal. Folks, you may go online to Rivers of Miracles, to PayPal.com to sow a seed into the Miracle Man Show. And because I want to see you get blessed. And one way to get blessed is to sow a seed into the Miracle Man program. Because as you sow your seed, it helps keep us going. And when you sow into the Miracle Man program, you are sowing into some good ground. It's not rocky, thorny ground. It's good ground. It's great ground that you're sowing into when you sow into this program. Amen. So you can feel good about sowing into this. And I don't guess so. I don't wish so. I know so. Amen. And so you can go online to PayPal.com. In the search bar, type in River Shukla, which is my name, R-Y-V-E-R-S, And the last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Please keep in mind that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. The other thing I would like you to keep in mind is that the first R in Rivers and then the S in Shukla, both of those are capitalized. So I would like you to please make a note of that, if you could, kindly. Amen. And the verse I want to sum into your life tonight is where it says, therefore God loves a cheerful giver. You should want to give. You should want to sow a seed. You shouldn't be like, oh, I have to sow a seed. Feel like, oh, I have to sow a seed. Keep it then. But you should want to give. You should be happy about what the gospel has done in your life. So that's why, as Christians, we should be happy to give. Amen. And now we're going to sing a couple of songs and then going to get into the word of the Lord for tonight that he would have us get into. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. We see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. We see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. see you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. We'll see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 I want to see you. Holy, 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 I want to see you. Thank you, Jesus. Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you are for me. Thank you, Lord. Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you are to me. Take my life. Take my life. Transform it. Take my will, reform it. Take my heart, reform it. To love, oh Lord. Faithfulness, faithfulness is what I long for. Faithfulness. The faith of all I need, yes. Your faithfulness is what you are for me, yes. Take my life, transform it. Take my life. Conform it. Take my will. Reform it. To love, oh Lord. Your righteousness is what I long for. Your righteousness is what I need. Your righteousness is what you are for me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Take my mind, transform it. Take my life. Transform it. Take my will. Transform it. to the, oh Lord. Take my mind and transform it. Take my will and form it. Take my will and form it. To those, oh Lord. I want to walk the way you walk. I want to talk the way you talk. For the hand of the Lord is upon me. I want to walk the way you walk. I want to talk the way you talk. For the hand of the Lord is upon me. I want to walk the way you walk. I want to talk the way you talk. For the hand of the Lord is upon me. I want to walk the way you walk. I want to talk the way you talk. For the hand of the Lord is upon me. I want to preach, pray, and prophesy. I want to preach, pray, and prophesy. For the hand of the Lord is upon me. I'm going to preach, pray, and prophesy. I'm going to preach, pray, and prophesy. For the hand of the Lord is upon me. I'm going to preach, pray, and prophesy. Going to preach, pray, and prophesy. For the hand of the Lord is upon me. Going to preach, pray, and prophesy. Going to preach, pray, and prophesy. For the hand of the Lord is upon me. Your holiness is what I long for. Your holiness is what I need. Your holiness is what you are to me. Oh. Righteousness. Righteousness is what I long for. Righteousness, righteousness is what I need. Righteousness, righteousness is what you are for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's nothing worth more that would ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living home. Your presence, Lord. Oh, yes. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that would ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. In your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are so good to us. Thank you for what you are to us, for who you are to us, for what you've done, what you're doing in us right now. You know, Lord God, what we have need of. And we thank you. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that we get to serve you. It is not by accident that we serve you. And those tuned into this broadcast tonight, it is not by accident that they tuned in. It was designed. Thank you, Lord God, for all these different countries where there are listeners tuned in. For every one of these different countries where we have people tuned in on a regular basis. Thank you for every one of these people. Thank you that they would have a divine encounter with you, every one of these people. Thank you for this time tonight that we get to be with you in your presence. Thank you for these listeners who have tuned in tonight from across the world. And I thank you for what you're doing in the lives of these listeners, because you, Lord God, know what they have need of. You know who needs a healing. You know who needs a financial miracle. You know who needs all these different kinds of miracles. And I know that you are the miracle worker. And I know, and I firmly believe, we can say to the mountain, move, and get out of our way. And whatever we ask in prayer, believing, we can receive it. So I thank you that every one of these needs representing this program is met by you, Lord. I thank you for this time in your word tonight. Thank you that it'd be fruitful and that these listeners would have minds ready to receive, ears ready to hear, and that they would not be distracted by anything else around them. And I give you all the glory and honor and praise for that tonight. And now I thank you that you would use me as your oracle tonight to deliver this word. And now I make my confession over this program. I pray that sponsors and partners would come into this program, that finances would come into this program, that increases in listenership would come into this program. Most importantly of all, Jesus, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this great radio program. In your matchless name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. I'm going to take a real quick station ID, but when I come back, we're going to get right into the Word of God for tonight.
There you go.
All right, listeners, we're back on. We're back on. So if you got your Bibles or a device with the Bible app on it, open that thing up, if you would, please, to the book of Jonah, chapter 1. Amen. Praise God. Jonah, chapter 1. And we're going to look at the book of Jonah. And you'll see that it's very important that we obey God, what God wants you to do. So, Jonah 1, going to begin with verse 1. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, was the son of Amittai, and he said, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord. He headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for the port of Tarshish. After paying the fare, he went aboard and he sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Uh-oh, that doesn't work so well. Verse 4. Then the Lord did this. The Lord sent, what I mean by this is what we're about to read about. Then the Lord sent a great wind upon the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All of the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, little g. They each cried out to their own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God, again, little g. Maybe he will take notice of us, and we will not perish. Then the sailors said to each other, come, let's cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. They cast lots, and the lots fell on Jonah. So they asked him, tell us, who is responsible for making all of this trouble for us? Where do you come from? What's your country? From what people are you? He answered, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. This terrified them, and they asked, what have you done? They knew that he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up. Throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come to us, has come upon you. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land. But they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, "Oh Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, O Lord, have done as you pleased." And threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside that fish for 3 days and three nights. Let's look at chapter 2. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, and he said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I've been banished before your sight. I've been banished from your sight. Yet I will again toward your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Sword was wrapped around my head. I mean, seaweed was wrapped around my head. By the roots of the mountains, I sank down. The earth beneath warped me forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord, my God. When my life was ending away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your body temple, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forget the grace that could be theirs, but I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah on the dry land. Let's look at chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, and he said, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message that I give you." Jonah obeyed the Lord, the word of the Lord, this time, and he went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned." The Ninevites believed They believe God. They declared a fast. All of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree of the king, and of nobles, do not let any man or beast, herself, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. Let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently upon God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent. The compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction that he had threatened. Now tomorrow night, we're going to read about how Jonah felt about the compassion of the Lord. But, so you see, Jonah was first told, now Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, preach against it, tell them what they're doing is wicked in my sight. And that was a wicked city. And I doubt there were any Christian chickens there. And if Christian chicken was even invented yet, I am for sure that there were none of them in that city, nor anywhere nearby. None. Nope. You know what else I don't think there were any of? I don't think there were any of them there waffle houses either. Maybe. No, I doubt it, because those are mostly in the southern U.S. or the southwestern U.S. or even some in like Colorado, but not too many in Colorado. Some of them, maybe they didn't have any of them. I don't know. But nonetheless, they didn't have any. I doubt they had any waffle houses. But that's beside that. Beside the point. In another message for another day. But furthermore, so God tells Jonah, go to Nineveh, please preach the message that I give you. But he flees from the Lord. In his mind, he decides he's going to flee from the Lord and go to Tarshish. In fact, he even told the ship captains when he went on that ship to go to Tarshish. When he went to Joppa to get on that ship to go to Tarshish, he told that ship captain, I'm fleeing from the Lord. And I'm sure that ship captain is like, okay. And so he pays the fare that he's supposed to pay to get on the ship. So he pays the money that he's supposed to pay. He goes to where he's going to sit on the ship. they start sailing. But then God sends wind. God sent wind. God sent wind. And those, and it keeps getting rougher, 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 rougher. All those people who are evil, they started praying to their own false gods. And it didn't do anything at all for them. Their false gods didn't help them. They wouldn't listen to them. And they start throwing things over. We'll see. We'll see. They decide, well, who caused this? Someone must have caused this. Because their gods weren't doing anything for them. So they're like, someone must have caused this. They cast the lots. The lots fall on Jonah. They go down to the, they go downstairs to where Jonah is. They ask him what he's doing, you know, who he is, what he does. And he said he was, had said that he had been fleeing the Lord. And he said, throw me over. This is my fault. He admitted, this is my fault. I did not obey God. This storm is coming upon you because I am on this boat. I did not obey God. And so he's like, you know what? Go ahead, throw me over, and it'll become calm. But first they're like, well, let's try to see if we can get it, the ship back to land. Let's try. But when they try to get it back towards land, it keeps failing, failing, failing. Because the wind keeps getting rougher and rougher and rougher. Eventually they throw them. And because they didn't want to be responsible for taking an innocent person's life, then they decide to throw him overboard. They decide to throw him overboard. When they did that, it became calm. God had a whale ready for him. He goes into the mouth of that fish, and he's praying to the Lord, asking for forgiveness, admitting, you know, how God is. And after 3 days and three nights, he comes out of that fish. God commanded the fish to vomit him up, put him on the land. That fish brought him back on dry land. And then God told Jonah, all right, now go to Nineveh and speak what I tell you. He goes to Nineveh, a very important city. And even though he preached to them about how wicked they were, they believed. Everyone from the greatest to the least puts on sackcloth. They cry out to the Lord and they repent. And the Lord had threatened that 40 days later they would be, Nineveh would be destroyed. But the Lord had compassion upon Nineveh because of how they repented. And they had turned from their wicked ways. And their false gods. Now, the people who were on board the ship, after the wind stopped, you know, thing, they gave sacrifices to God. They thanked God. And they accepted God. So when God tells you to do something, it's best to be obedient. I'm not saying there's going to be that you're going to get thrown into the sea and a bit and the fish is going to bite you. I mean that you're going to get thrown into the mouth of the fish just because you didn't do what God said. You might not have that, but it'll be so much easier for you if God tells you to do something and you just obey and you don't flee from the Lord. Because part of the problem is that he fleed from the Lord. The Lord was telling him to go a certain way, and he decided to go the exact opposite way. This would be like if God told me to go to Minnesota or something like that, we'll just say as an example. Or even in the state, go to Cadillac or whatever, and instead I go to Detroit. Or like the opposite way of what God wanted you to go. And when God is trying to talk to you, when he's trying to tell you to do something, do it. And people will sit there and wonder, you know, well, I'm afraid of what people might think. I'm worried about what they might, oh, God, help me. I guess what they'll just, they might be like, well, I'm worried about this might happen, that might happen. They might not accept me. They might not. But then, and then it might be like, well, maybe if I just go that other way, then I'll just feel free. It is not good to disobey God. When you're in disobedience to the command of God, you are doing yourself no favors at all. In fact, you're hurting yourself when you do that. When you don't follow the ways of God, you're honestly hurting yourself. And if you, the commands of God, and do as he asks of you, then you can have the blessing of God on your life. And that's what I want. I want the blessing of God on my life. I want him to say, well done. I don't want him to say, well, why did you spend so much time disobeying me? Why did you do this stuff opposite of what I told you to do? I want him to be happy with me. I mean, what I mean is, you know, pleased. Because I did the right thing. Amen. And he even told those captains on that ship, when he went on the board, that he was fleeing from God. But it took that storm in order to change his heart. He realized that he was wrong, that he never should have done what he had done. He had to repent, just like those other people, those people from Nineveh. said to repent of their sins. Just like how here in my country, the United States of America, we need help from God. We need revival. We need God to move. But people need to repent of their spiritual laziness. Get back to the house of God. There, folks, there has been a survey that was done, or was just done recently. This survey was first started in like the 1950s. It's not done every year. It's done like every few years or so. And they ask about like 2,000 people or so, how many of you believe God, believe in God? Well, at first, the percentage of those who believed in God the first three times was at 98%. Slowly went down. Now it is at 81%, an all-time low. And it did show that there was that the percentage of Republicans, those who identified as Republicans, were more apt to believe in God than those who were Democrats, liberals. Of the Dems, only like 62% believed. Half of people said that knew that he answered prayer. What's this mean? We got to win souls. 81% down from 98 back in the. That's not good, is it, Shelley? That's not good, is it? Folks, that's the wrong way. That's not going the right way. Folks, this number should be going up. I'm not saying it'll go to 100. You'll have those who will fall away. You will have those who will fall away. Jesus talked about the great falling away. We're having that now. We could have more people in this country that believed God, that went to the house of God, that took him seriously. Just imagine what we could do. And I just heard about this report yesterday. And then months ago around Easter, you had liberals, this certain crazy liberal who said, we just need to get rid of God. You can't get rid of God. You can spit on my God all you want to. He's not going away. And in 2 weeks, we celebrate the independence of this great country. It was founded on July 4th, 1776. It's not independence from God. It's independence from the Britons. Now I'm going to close. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. I thank you that we would obey you And if we haven't been obeying you, if we've been disobedient for whatever reasons, maybe whether it's the flesh, whether it's maybe we didn't hear you the first time, whatever it is, or if we did hear you, but we, for whatever reason, decided to delay the obedience, Lord God, I pray that you would forgive us right now for being disobedient to you. And that we would repent for being disobedient to your ways, and we would start obeying you. And now I make my confession. I thank you, Lord God, that would be hearers of this word tonight, doers of this word in our own lives, and not hearers only. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. In terms of sports, the Tigers split the series with the Rangers, winning 2 games, losing 2 games. So at least they didn't lose them all. Hopefully they can slowly get better as the summer keeps heating up. All right, folks. Until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.